Are you insane?
They are insane!
You're in the hands of an adolescent.
It is a cellular peptide cake.
But Red Frosting.
It does like you.
Mr. Kip, 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 Kip.
I like Christopher on the Arrow.
I don't like
it. Here's my
iMac looking laptops.
Orange. Grape. It's colored grape. It's color, yeah. Tangerine.
The clamshell type, yeah.
Tangerine.
No. When I first started working at Lambs, though, that's what I used.
Yeah. Those were awesome when they came out.
That's the kind that if someone starts shooting, you hold up as like a shield.
Yes.
You know, it's just...
yeah.
Oh, God.
Kim will be Captain Mac. She'll like...
Well, it had
it
a little handle on it like it was a little purse, too. It's like perfect.
Oh, yeah.
Like a purse.
Yeah, it did look like a purse.
Okay, well, as always, I like to pull back the veil of our normal conversations.
Stupid conversation.
No, these are very insightful.
Important.
I think this is why people
very
show
important.
Up. Yeah, because they want to learn. You know, it's like on a starship. You want to know about the day-to-day moments here, not the exciting stuff, which is
true.
Happening right
so
now.
Let's begin with a revisit last week, and Mike mentions why there was such a delay in getting started.
I'm Mike McCafferty, and I have a podcast called I Just Want to Talk About Star Trek, presented to you in glorious audio. Who am I joined with today?
Kim Miller.
Otherwise known as?
Bachter.
What? The Spockter? The Spockter.
We're off to a rousing start. Kim's eating.
I know. But we also now we have our chief engineer.
I've returned from the outer rim.
Your name, sir?
Jason McCarris is my name.
Chief engineer Jason. I have elevated you to chief engineer, friend.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, well, I mean, you're the one who is always like, do this and do that, so.
Hashtag
that,
this.
Am I
we'll
the same
rank
as Chief O'Brien?
We could make you Chief McCarris. I don't know.
Well, then you'll have to post a picture of me every day, like George Edelman keeps tagging us in.
Oh, yeah, I know. There's a Facebook site.
A Facebook page, and it's the same picture of Chief O'Brien every day.
That's what it's called, yeah.
That's the name of the page. It just posts the same picture of Chief O'Brien every day. And George has been tagging us, and I'm like, this is weird and great.
I don't know why he's so fixated on it. I mean, there is some text to it. Right?
It's amazing. Somebody's just posting the same exact photo every day. Stupid.
All the effort, you know, that we go into watching the show and talking about it, and just someone just posts the same picture over and over again. Well, it's more than just posting one picture. I mean, he just posts one picture and he gets away with it. You know, I mean, yeah. I wish I did that.
It's better. You wrote a song about Chief O'Brien.
This is true.
Chief Pistine,
this
is true. Chief O'Brien.
That was golden. We should say, though, that we are podcasting right now live on our Facebook page. I just want to talk about Star Trek Facebook page, which is ripe with all sorts of interesting, cool things for you to check out if you do listen to this podcast. It is the second half. And it really is really like
her head.
No.
Big mouth.
Come on, Doctor.
You can see her.
Yeah.
God, Jason.
If you were watching the live feed right now, you'd see this. You're listening to this like
exactly.
3 days later, but you
Jason
can watch Kim disapproving.
Everything I do.
Disapproving looks to me. You can see this live.
Jason has a big mouth.
All right. Anyway. Well, with that, it's all falling apart. But I tell you what's coming together. That may be Star Trek Discovery. I don't know. Boy, I am. I tell you, my internet speed is slow again. I don't know what happened. I'm right next
to you.
This is intolerable.
So we're having technical problems.
I just want to talk about Wi-Fi with Mike McCafferty.
I just want, yeah.
He's sitting outside to be fun.
Well, I'm closer to the Wi-Fi. I don't understand what's going on. It's like, okay. Anyway, so we're going to talk about episode 2 of season 2 of Discovery. Kim, what's the title?
New Eden.
New Eden.
Step
or Chateau of Vortivore.
New Eden. Yay, brother.
Yay, brother.
I guess, you know, three different times.
I know.
I'll go back. I'll edit it all together. Don't worry. I'll put it all together. Don't worry, you guys. I'll go to this one section.
Kim also shaking her head.
Shut up! Jeez, Jason!
It was comedy. Come on.
Jason is very excited today, and I don't know why.
I'm not excited. I'm just awake. We usually do this podcast at 1 in the morning.
Now you're just like, bing, 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 bing.
Good grief.
Well, this is, yeah, this is true. Oh, geez. Don't say that.
That's another story.
Yeah. So, I don't know where we left. All right,
New Eden. So you liked it. You seem to be optimistic about this.
I am cautiously optimistic. You know, trust but verify about this, that 2 episodes into the season, I like 2 episodes in the season.
Wow.
I think I know why, too. We'll get into that, but I think I know why you're enjoying it so much.
Well, last
week. Yeah.
Like the simplest thing is that it's being Star Trek. I mean, they're going on Star Treks.
Yes, it didn't definitely feel like an old episode, like a Next Generation or something.
This felt like so much like we have a mystery on this planet. Let's go down this planet, figure out what it is, and then we'll leave and we don't owe that much to it.
Right.
Now, I did caveat that with owe that much to it, but at least it was self-contained and it wasn't, you know, Klingons and mirror universes. It's just, hey, these people are acting strange. Let's figure out why. Let's figure out how we relate to that. Which they did. Let's resolve it in an uncomfortable way for us, which we learn a little bit, they learn a little bit, and then we all leave. The end. Good. Jason, what did you think about this?
I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed it a lot. Okay. I thought it introduced some really interesting ideas and concepts, and I that was really the main thing I was going to mention when I said I know why you liked it. I think a part of that also is, as you mentioned last week, Pike. Pike is an interesting character, and he's a leader. He's an actual leader who comes in and does something, as opposed to somebody who's been thrown into the position of captain, you know, haphazardly, or is from an evil mirror universe. It's refreshing to have somebody who's a leader, and you see a community with a problem that they're going to come solve somehow, and then make it better, and hopefully not violate. What is it? Not the Prime Directive, but what's the
General Order 1?
General Order 1, right?
Well, isn't General Order 1 eventually becomes the Prime Directive?
Does it? Yeah.
I'm pretty sure. I think, yeah. It's which we can dive into that a little bit too, because they do kind of skirt around it, and the Prime Directive is kind of, it's not that prime. It's generally not that prime. Yeah.
It's violated many, many times.
It's like it's not Amazon Prime. It's kind of like, you know, like get it in a week kind of Prime. You know, it's like, well, okay, we could. Because of the Red Angel, I'm sure we can look past this and kind of corrupt this, you know, this civilization. That's okay. Yes, I think those are a lot of the reasons you hit upon that I did
think
like.
You kind of buried the lead a little bit last episode. I listened, but I wasn't here for it. But when I heard you talk about enjoying the episode, you were kind of, I don't know, a little bit held back. You didn't with your exuberance, because when you watched season 2, episode 1, we all got a text saying, with a very confused text from you saying, "I kind of loved it." I was like, "That," but coming from you, that's like huge praise.
Jason's outing you now.
Yeah.
Jason, what is this?
All will be revealed. I am the DMC of this podcast.
I taking us all to task for our various.
Although Kim revelations of emotion last week with your mute button.
We don't need to talk about that.
We'll talk about that.
I, you know, it may have been the Red Angel. It could have been anything, you guys. I mean, I have faith.
World War III made me do it.
Well, what do you think about the Red Angel? Because the Red Angel, it's become a lot more interesting to me as I've seen these first 2 episodes. When we saw the trailer, it seemed really dumb.
Yes, it did seem really dumb. And it just felt like such a, well, first of all, like before we do it, Kim, let's get your thoughts, like overall thoughts about what you thought about the episode.
Yeah, it felt like a Next Generation episode to me. With there's a problem, let's go and explore it. Meet some interesting residents of a new planet. Have a time constraint with something terrible that's going to happen if we don't solve this problem. And then solve it. Like you said, it wasn't solved perfectly. With a little bit of, wait a minute. I'm kind of bending the rules there. But overall, I enjoyed it. I think some of the Tilly stuff was, again, a little bit grating to me. But,
oh, don't get
me started. Yeah. We really got to Tilly.
like what she was doing was interesting with her trying to figure out dark matter and all that stuff, but
it was. But at the same time, it's
the
like,
cutesy stuff is a bit much.
What
at times.
What was she doing with the dark matter? I mean, the thing practically destroyed this like table, and she's talking about it weighing like how many tons each little
somehow
bit of this.
Somehow she's trying to find out a way for it to be used in place of Stamets.
No,
so
but I know
he doesn't have to plug in.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean that quite literally. What is she doing? I mean, like, what the hell is she doing?
Oh.
Because she realizes it's crushing everything. She's like, I'm just going to keep going. I'm not going to stop here, pause, and kind of figure out what I'm going to do. I'm just going to pull it and, like, nearly kill myself.
For her friend Stamets.
Okay. Well, it's certainly, I mean, considering that she wants to be part of the captaincy program or whatever that is.
Oh, yeah. The
not following.
Oh, yeah.
What is it called?
Command training program. CTP.
Command training program, yes. She certainly is disobeying every order and doing whatever she wants on the ship, which maybe that is what you have to do to be in part of Starfleet, just kind of like disobey orders. Although with Burnham, that got her locked up.
Yeah.
For life.
But then it got her. Yeah.
But she'll be the captain by the end of the series, right?
Oh, who, Tilly
sure
or
something will, like that'll happen.
Burnham.
Maybe. I guess so. I mean, I kind of hope not.
We got a coffee break here in the middle of the podcast. Hang on a minute.
I read that. Pondering.
You know,
as I sip yesterday's coffee, it takes me back to yesterday when I bought this coffee.
Oh, dear. Now we've lost Mike. Oh. The coffee did us in. The coffee
down killed to 50p. What happened? Oh, there he is.
We're looking at a still of Mike's smiling face
this
right now.
This is why I say the video component is unnecessary.
Totally unnecessary.
We'll continue to talk about. Oh, shoot.
Oh, he's back. Hang on. Oh, everybody. Look orderly.
Look busy. You'll edit this right out.
Now we're looking at Mike walking around his backyard.
Looking at a close-up of his neck.
Yes, of his armpit. Oh, it's his neck. Okay, pardon me. And then he's going to go shoot baskets, I think.
He's transferring back into the house wearing his
he's also
call now, and you'll...
because you can't hear him.
Wearing his...
No, you hit the headset. Unmute yourself, fool. Unmute yourself.
Oh boy.
Oh, here we go. why don't we just come up with our own topic, Doctor, and take over this? But it's now the shuttlecraft episode that we've always wanted.
Yes.
So tell me your thoughts on it. Was interesting. I sent Mike an article that was in the Hollywood Reporter, and I didn't send it to you because you hadn't seen the episode yet. I didn't want to spoil it. But the crux of the article was one of the prime directives from Gene Roddenberry when he created the series is that there's not going to be any reference to religion. Like religion is, there is no religion in the future. And
really?
Yeah, that's what, at least
a couple original episodes, that original series episodes that dealt with religion.
Yeah. But this one, maybe not about Earth. I don't know, because they never really dealt with religions of Earth. Did they?
I don't think they ever specifically said Christianity or named.
Right.
You know, religion.
Well,
wait, can you guys hear me? No?
Kind of idea.
Now
we can finally hear you.
Oh, okay. I was just sitting there quietly. It's like, I'll let you guys talk, but.
Hey, well, we started our shuttlecraft episode without you.
I know. I was actually happy about it. Good. I don't need to be here.
No, I just started talking about the article I sent you from the Hollywood Reporter about how Gene Roddenberry kind of had a mandate of not discussing religion on the show. And then that this kind of broke that rule. And Alex Kurtzman, had mentioned that that's really a direction they're going in because, and I guess it's laid out in the episode too. That
breaking the rules or
talking about faith?
Talking about faith in general. Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, I thought it was well done in this show.
Yeah.
It was certainly, they really, really pushed it. It was certainly something they were really pushing as far as, like, it's like Pike really wants to talk about faith right now, and the writers really want to talk about faith in this episode.
Yeah.
I mean,
but like, the interesting thing about Pike, I guess, was the introduction of the fact that, okay, his father was a scientist, but also like a minotaur of sorts.
Comparative religion or something.
Right. Oh, I'm sorry. Professor of religion. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All this sort of comes out, you know, in this episode. I kind of wish they would have eased off it just a little bit. Like, he doesn't, like, again, it's one of those things, show, don't tell. Like, if he had like a, like, cross on his chest, or if he just said, "Oh, my dad was into this stuff." But I mean, it got the point across. It was an interesting kind of juxtaposition for all the science to have someone say, "Well, maybe there is a God. Who knows?"
Did you get the impression that he's religious himself, or I thought he was just sort of he knows the lingo.
Well, I got to say that it was familial for him, and it like reminded him of his family or something, and he had some sort of emotion about it, not necessarily that he had the faith. But he also did discuss, what was the name of the, I'm blanking, I'll have to go back to the quote about...
Arthur C. Clarke, the third law of...
The Clarke rule,
Oh, I thought you meant the Shakespeare.
No. Yeah, the Clarke rule, which they've modified... in the future as
nice of them to do that. Go ahead. You know.
Which I didn't quite understand the juxtaposition between the two necessarily, but because it was like magic, they were saying the unexplained, possibly being magic or considered magic if it's not understood at the time.
Science is so advanced to people seeing it for the first time. They think it's magic or it could seem like religion or God or something like that.
Right.
Yeah. And they were somehow saying that, like, they kind of said, oh, anything that seems unusual could actually be an alien presence or something.
He was saying alien presence was equated to God, which I didn't quite understand the jump there.
It felt like a lot of verbal gymnastics to get to the point of like, after 50 years, like maybe we'll have a little bit of religion in this just to kind of like mix it up. I mean, to bring in Star Wars a little bit, Star Wars is basically a religious show in some ways. It does say there is this higher power, and all of your science has really always takes a back seat to your faith in this higher power. Whereas Star Trek has always been, we believe in technology and ourselves. We believe in the humanity
and science and discovering the unexplained and
exactly. Like if there's something I don't explain, I can apply science, and until I understand it through science, I will choose to believe that there is a logical explanation for it.
Right.
As opposed to like, oh, it's God. It's something I can't explain. It's the spirits. It's whatever.
Right.
To your point, like it did feel as though it was something maybe his family, like you said, his dad was a minister. You know, so it's in him, but it isn't of him necessarily. It's he doesn't, he's not a minister, but he's willing to allow it as a possibility.
Right.
He's familiar with the whole world of faith. And so he knows how to talk and behave and all that.
Yeah.
Whereas Weshikun don't.
The Clarke law is any sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic. But over the years, the meaning has shifted appropriately in the Trek universe to say any advanced extraterrestrial intelligence is indistinguishable from God.
Mm-hmm.
So that law gets proven when they land and they touch down in New Eden.
Right. I mean, magic God. I mean, there's it's a pretty close line ultimately. It did come out of kind of nowhere, and we've only seen Pike in three episodes now, counting the pilot, the cage. And now these two. So, I mean, there is a possibility that, he was a religious person, but Roddenberry wasn't necessarily. Right. So
it made me think a lot about Star Trek V too, because that is like one of the main cruxes of V too, is that they've discovered God, which they think is God. So that there is that discussion at least.
That is true. And I mean, if there's one thing that, I mean, maybe Shatner brought in kind of ham-fistedly to conjugate that to its improper length is that the idea of God is that but this was presented by a madman. This is Sybok already starts out from a maniacal state. He's like, I'm gonna find God, he exists, and our heroes are like, there is no God, until that one moment they're like, maybe there is a God.
Mm-hmm.
And then like, no, it's just a big angry head that's kind of yell at people until it's shot by a disruptor from a Klingon ship. Like, okay.
And horses.
Yes. Lots and lots of horses. All right. So we got a little sidetracked there as I tried to clean up the audio. I might actually cut that out.
Oh,
if I don't.
Come on now.
Yes. Edit.
Now I won't. I can't.
Just because all right, so, I said to you.
I know. Because you want it.
I know.
Well, let's so Kim doesn't have her copious notes, so we can't like do a chronological dive.
I did watch it multiple times though.
Oh, you did. See, yeah, this is why we. But see, right. here's our kind of our devil's bargain with you is that when we go in, like when you do those deep dives and we go over every single scene, when you don't have the copious notes, yes, it does take an hour and a half. When you don't, then we can kind of like jump around to the things that strike us as interesting and fun. So, as we just did, we're talking about Pike. I like for my part, like I'll weigh in a little bit of overall what I liked about this episode, just to kind of complete that troika. like you guys said, like you said, Jason, this was a great let's just stop off at a planet and have some fun. Pike just grounds the episode so much. You know, it's not a mirror universe, you know, or Saru who's doubting himself, Commander. It's just someone who's like, Captain, these are the options. What do you want to do? And then someone has to make those difficult choices. And that's what we want in Star Trek. We want to have these societal conundrums, these technological conundrums that we have to kind of split the baby and say, this is an imperfect solution. What should we do? And that was an imperfect solution. You know, I mean, they didn't tell everybody about where Earth, you know, that Earth has it survived. But, you know, Pike said, well, I'm going to tell this one guy and give him this power plant in exchange for a helmet. You know, I mean, it is those kind of asymmetrical.
It made me wonder where they got those light bulbs from. Does he always have those? And all of a sudden he just powers it up and they have light bulbs everywhere.
I know. Very godlike glows.
Before, right? Or they just had the old light bulbs and they had a power outage? Is that what happened?
I have to say that they could have built that society a lot more and sacrificed a lot of Tilly nonsense and statement stuff, because basically we got one big long sort of drop from the woman of what happened with their society, right? Like at the campfire, well, you know, 200 years ago, blah, 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 and this happened, and then we lost technology, so we decided to believe in all these gods because the Red Angel. Any questions? Good night. You know, it was like, oh. There's no threat from her because there's not enough time. Right. You know, there's no, like, you know, I thought she was going to become, you know, kind of like heretics, you know, cast them out. But there just wasn't time for it. So I would have liked to see a little more of that society.
Yeah.
And find out.
We haven't mentioned yet, too, that this episode directed by Jonathan Frakes.
Oh, yeah.
It's a very well-directed episode, I thought. I thought it was very good.
Two takes Frakes.
Is that what he's known for?
Yeah, that's what they call him. So
gets it done quickly. He and, what's his face, Clint Eastwood.
Yes.
You've experienced firsthand.
Yes, yes. I shot the Changing with him. Not the TV, the original series episode, but the terrifying, horrible movie that I took Jason to.
It's not a horrible movie. It's just devastating.
It's devastating.
You just wanted to go home and hug your kids after it was done.
Oh, God, yeah. But yeah, directed by Jonathan Frakes. He did a great job. You know, the best thing you can always say about a director, especially for TV, is that you don't notice a lot of the direction. You know, if you do, then it's like, but got good performances out of everybody.
Yeah, I thought so.
What did you notice about Arium this week? Oh my God, there was more. There was so much.
You know, I don't want to take
credit. She's got a lot of Smurfos.
I feel like they listened to our podcast where we were joking about that last episode, and they're like, take this, you sons of bitches. Yes.
So after we recorded that podcast, I went back and watched it again, and I'm like, oh, maybe I was too hard on them, because they don't do it every time she's on screen, but several times. But then this past episode, they did it multiple times every time she's on.
It was so distracting. It was so, because I like that character now. I'm like, oh, good, she's talking. I mean, I want to know who she is, right? I mean,
yeah.
I also like if we're jumping around, I love the fact that they took the helmsman or whoever she is. What is her name?
Oweshikun. Joanna.
Yeah, let's just say Joanna. Because they say, oh, we can take Oweshikun because she was raised by Luddites or something. I'm like, what? Who? What?
You're right.
And then like, embed. Oh, that girl? She what?
She can embed.
Oh, she can embed. Well, again, like, she didn't really embed. She knew the power of magnets.
She knew how to flip open a little lock. Yeah.
Again, like that, like another like kind of indictment for the fact that if they would kind of lay off the Red Angel and the Tilly story, she could have embedded, right? She could have been like, Captain, we need to back off from these people. Like, they're obviously they're scared, blah, blah, blah. But instead, she just was kind of along for the ride, which I was thrilled with because she's been on the ship for like 15 episodes. I don't know who the hell she is. It's like, but again, they told us instead of showed us, you know, it's just.
Told you what?
Told us that she could embed into the society and in fact did nothing to embed into the society.
Yeah,
wouldn't you wonder why she was there if they hadn't mentioned it?
Well, I still wonder why she was there because she didn't do anything. You know,
I made this whole big deal about it and then she did what anybody else would have done.
I know. She's just take the robot. Hey. Don't want to see the girl, you know? I mean, oh, we're from
take the stick.
I
shift.
Really. They said like, oh yeah, we're from like the northern province or something.
Oh yeah, we're from the north.
I really wish they would have said we're from the valley. Just like in Return of the Archons. Yes, we're from the valley.
Are you from the valley?
That I was so like oh, it's right here. Do it. You go. Oh, all right. our friend, whatever his name is, our man of two names. Friend of the pod.
That's everybody. Rory Calhoun.
Rory Calhoun.
Who was that that would stand on his legs and walk?
Oh, little Rory Calhoun.
Stand on his hind legs.
All right, this isn't Simpsons podcast. No, the guy who said it's almost the red hour, like that guy I had on the podcast.
He would have been so happy. He has two names.
Yes, that's what I said.
Kidding.
Oh my God.
We'll edit this right up.
All right. Can we talk about Ariam a little more? Can we talk about her bullfrogishness? I decided she's a bullfrog.
There was one shot she had. They did that sound 5 times.
I know.
I just picture like a sound guy with a keyboard hitting it. Do, 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 do.
Can you just, I mean, like they're in post-production and... Like you can see like Jonathan Frakes like just sitting there looking at the edit. It's like, can we put more in there?
That's what it seemed like.
Why don't we put more in there? Make it so.
Sit down with his leg over the back of the chair.
Don't like it. Need more of them. Belay that order. Put in 5. He walks out. He's like, but we're not done. We're at minute 5 of this. You know? He's 2 takes Frakes. We gotta do it. Just, I mean,
2 takes 50 turbo noises.
It's like they figured that no one has noticed up to this point. Like, that's it. More. We hear it. It's so okay. Noticeable.
Weirdness understood. This is, I mean, this woman has a robot face. She has a face like my Kia Soul stick shift. And you have to put in a sound effect to let us know she's weird. No. We got that. That is.
She also has kind of that robotic voice.
Yes, I mean she has like she. We don't need. I mean, like it's fine. I love it. I'm so happy with it. I Ariam is my new number one character in the show.
More than the giant headed creature that's at the back of the bridge. Did you see? They appeared again.
Oh, I didn't see that one appear. Oh God.
Oh,
I want to see that.
I'll take a picture.
But, I mean, at least she's got lines. I mean, like that guy, I mean, he's just like a guy who's like, my head's so heavy. Help, can we turn down the gravity, you guys? My head is so heavy here. I mean, I must have evolved.
Down the gravity, just for me.
Because in this world, like in my world, gravity's pretty light. So my head can just kind of float around. But here, oh, people always ask if I'm sad. No, I just can't lift my head. That's my whole sketch there on that. On heavy head.
Jason is reading an article. What are you doing?
I know, yes.
Heavy I am. I want, I'm trying to get back to the episode so we can talk about things.
Oh, now Jason's saying, I like this.
Oh, no.
Well, we discovered a few things in this episode, namely the first one being Spock is in a mental health institution.
Yes.
Yes, yes, which we didn't visit.
No.
But which I was mean, happy about that.
We're still teasing
last week
him a little
bit. It was a mystery that, where he was, and she went to his room and played with that Etch-a-Sketch thing that you throw in the air and and then but this week it's oh, by the way, I didn't tell you he's in a mental health facility.
Well, he's protecting his privacy.
Yeah,
and it's not important until now, so
yeah.
And we learned that Spock noticed, or he drew that sketch of the red anomalies 2 months before they were discovered by the Federation.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. So they discovered the location of one. They couldn't pinpoint any of the others, but they discovered one. And then, but it was in the Beta Quadrant. It's 150 years away.
And 150,000 light years, they said.
Yeah. No, I'm just saying it would have taken them 150 years. To
150
there, right?
years. Yeah, it was like 80,000 light years or something. And so,
yeah.
Because we have to remember, like, this is in between, I guess they do warp 7 or 8 now. In the original series, warp 7 was kind of like as fast as you wanted to go. In Enterprise, it was warp 5. So they're somewhere in between that, between 5 and 7. And it is an exponential thing. It's sort of like earthquakes where it's like 10 times faster, 10 times faster, 10 times faster. So warp 1 is the speed of light. It's going to take you 80,000 years to get someplace. So someone has it all figured out. But I guess, you know, 150 years. Or let's go back to the spore drive.
Yeah.
One more time.
We were waiting for that because they had to at some point, right?
So Stamets sees, he said his last jump, he saw Hugh, which was last season, right?
Mm-hmm.
When he was jumping and he's afraid he'll see him again and then be tempted to stay, I guess is the idea. So I don't know how he could do that, but he can control that. if he wants to stay in the network, he can.
I will place very strong odds that Anthony Rapp will not be around for season 3. My strong feeling is that he is done with this show. And he's like, hey, guys, I had a lot of fun. I got to get out of here. Because they are giving him all sorts of outs.
Yeah.
I mean, he was going to go to the Vulcan Science Academy. And now he's got Hugh in the Mycelian Network. Right. He still has that port in his arm. I mean, I do want to say that he's still like...
Both of them, right? Ever...
He has two, doesn't he?
Yeah, he sticks out both his arms. And...
Yeah, and then he gets these weird things. He's like, do you want us to take those out? No. Let's keep those on. No, that's I just got a weird feeling that.
They didn't have permission because they weren't in a time of war anymore to do it. And Pike was kind of like, they're going to accept this. It's fine. Let's just do it.
They were fine with it before. We'll be fine again.
They justify a lot of stuff in this. They, you know, it's the that and the Prime Directive. They just, you know.
Isn't that what you like about Pike? It's a bit of a rule bender.
Well, I mean, you know, Kirk was too. Picard less so. Janeway. I mean, all the cat. But see, for them, it sits with them, and they have to make that decision. It can't be Burnham. It can't be Tilly. I mean, Tilly can't go off on her own. It has to be like it's more interesting if it comes from the top. Now, if every once in a while someone takes like, I did this on my own, that's fine. But it can't be like a whole bunch of crazy people on a ship doing whatever they want.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of other instances where, like, the chief engineer decided, I'm going to do this dangerous experiment that might kill me or everyone else.
That's a good point. I don't remember. I mean, Scotty, Geordi, I don't recall any of them saying, hey, you know what? I installed this mushroom network in here. We're just going to go ahead and use it. Like people don't do that. People don't just, like... It was... It is, he's allowed to bend some of the rules and break them because he has a large objective of the Federation. People who are under his command have to ask him first. All right. And Kimmy just sent me a picture.
And that's that.
Well, no, I just got a picture from you, Kim.
Oh, okay.
You're texting me pictures as we're talking.
Well, so. Somebody's phone is on, too. Somebody's phone is ringing during the podcast. With not me. Audible. Dings, a dingy ding.
Oh, well, I did get one thing, but
aha!
I'll call you all out on it. I'm the TMZ of the podcast.
I know. You are.
Oh, okay.
Well, I also find it annoying when I'm listening to other people's podcasts and you have like alarms going off. And stuff. I'm like, what's wrong with you? Come on.
Who was it? J Lo was on the Today Show calling in this morning or yesterday morning.
J Lo.
You know, J-Lo, Jennifer Lawrence, not Jennifer
Jenny
Lawrence.
Jennifer Lawrence.
Jennifer Lopez?
Yes, Jennifer Lopez.
Yeah, Jennifer Lopez talking about a sugar-free diet. But we are really far afield
what?
Here.
What the hell happened there?
Well, no, I'm just saying, so she was calling into the Today Show to talk about like a no sugar, no carb 10-day challenge.
Yeah.
And she was calling in from her phone, and her phone kept getting texts, and you could hear the vibration.
Oh.
And like me and Sarah kept checking our phones because it sounded just like our phone was going off. And I was like, oh, damn it.
It's perfect.
edit this right out.
No, nothing gets edited. This is what
happens if I don't take notes.
Hey, someone check the Facebook page. See if anyone's watching.
I would advise you not to.
You can't check on the Facebook page to see if anyone's watching, right? You'd see it on your feed right here. You'd see a number. No?
Well, I see two viewers. I want to believe there's more. I want to believe there's like
30. I want to believe. It's your Arthur C. Clarke.
Yes, I just want someone to scan if they want to make a comment, you know. We're trying to.
They'll be like, talk about Star Trek. That's what I would say if I were watching.
Oh, well, all right. Well, so then let's talk about Star Trek. Let's dive into the Tilly problem, because if we want to, let's just go right to it. The Tilly problem. She was Wesley Crusher.
Stamets, and she and Stamets have this relationship, and Stamets tells her he's seen his husband in the network talking to him, and he believes he's actually there. But I didn't quite understand. Does that make him want to go and stay in the network or something?
I think he's afraid that he will want to stay there.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
That little speech about, I know I belong on this side of it, and fungi is cyclical.
There's a good mustard joke this week.
There's a good reference to fungi.
When somebody mentions to Pike about the jump, and they're, I think it was Saru, and he's like, giving clearance, he's asking the captain for clearance, and he's like, "You're the one who told me we're traveling on a mushroom network. I guess we're good to go." So Tilly,
thinking something.
With Stamets, I mean, I think we're trying to make the point that he is definitely fluctuating, and the character, without a mycelial network, because that's all he does. He's a mycelial network kind of guy. If they're not doing the
we saw last season that it takes it out of him. I mean, it really takes a toll on him.
Yeah.
So they can't continue to do that as a series and continue to use him to jump all the time unless it's
right.
Every now and then he's fine.
But also, he's the science officer of the damn ship, so he could be doing other things besides.
No, Burnham is.
Yeah. No, Burnham is. Burnham's the science officer. He's the mushroom guy.
Yeah.
He is.
But what's his title again?
He's a like
an astromycologist.
Astromycologist.
Duh, Jason. But I think after this last jump, it appears when he came out of the little chamber. Remember,
something disturbed him. Yeah.
It's Stamets. He goes, I don't want to talk about it. So I have a feeling he probably saw Hugh there.
Yeah. There was something we didn't see. So everyone's having visions in this show. Let's just as much as I like them doing episodes like that are kind of like, okay, this is self-contained. They have just scattered all of these little mini. They can't help themselves. They have to, like, Tilly sees people. Stamets sees people. Burnham sees people.
Oh, we didn't even get
Spock
to
sees people.
Person, Tilly that's saw, true. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like who's that person? What is that person? I don't need to see that person.
Why
I
thought is she hallucinating now?
Yes. I don't care about that.
Well, I do. Why the hell is there a dead person showing up to Tilly?
Yeah, I know, but I mean, like, there's so many things. Like, I just want them all to have like a conference, like in the ready room. Like, I saw a ghost. Oh, I saw a ghost too. Oh, was it the same one? No, it was a different. Wait, you saw? I saw a red angel. I saw a dead high school friend. Oh, I saw my dead lover. Wait, who? Which one should we track here? I don't know. You know?
Are you guys actually here?
Yeah, it's just Pike talking. I mean, then the Talosians show up. He's like, "Ha ha! This is just all part of our illusions, Pike. You're still in the wheelchair." Beep beep. You know.
Beep.
I mean, he's gonna see illusions.
Wait, was that Arium?
No, that was that's beep 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 beep.
But that was her friend from middle school, apparently.
Right.
Who died when she was 16.
Right.
Yeah, that was just. I thought she was. I thought she was that girl from the Short Treks Runaways. You know, like weird.
Oh, right.
Uh-huh. And I was like, she's like.
She was a queen and went back to her planet, right?
I know. I just thought they were just like, let's just recast this actor.
This lady talked really strangely.
Just sort of a New Zealand sort of accent or something.
New Zealand though. Maybe I'd have to watch it again.
Yeah, maybe not, but something
like New Zealand with like some other accent kind of blending with it. So it's like when you have people like, what were we watching? Some show where I can't remember what we were watching, but it was some show. Oh, it was Killing Eve.
Today Show.
We're watching the Today Show, and J Lo was on.
Killing Eve was talking about no sugar diet on Killing Eve.
Yeah, yeah, killing Eve. Sandra Oh was talking about the no sugar diet, and then they killed Eve.
I wasn't fat, so I can remember Sandra Oh. Yeah.
Sandra Oh. Pretty good show. Kind of goes off the rails.
It is. Yeah, it's not bad.
Yeah. I just want to talk about killing Eve. Kim, why didn't you take better notes? We're lost.
I didn't realize I'm
willing to go through the whole show, but I thought we were kind of, you know, free-floating going back and forth.
Well, yeah. I don't mind that either. This is kind of fun. This is just kind of like free-floating. Let's just... Like, I want to talk about Tilly next. Let's talk about Tilly, because we talked about Stamets. We closed the book on Stamets and his ghost. Okay. Let's talk about Tilly and her ghost.
Can we just talk about Tilly in general, you know, showing up on the bridge in her hospital nightgown and running around?
Oh, gosh.
I mean, I already addressed the fact earlier that she probably should have paused for a moment when she's like taking these 3-ton things off of the asteroid.
Yeah.
To be able to. So I don't understand what she's doing all the time, but not science wise.
Well, Jason.
I hope to God there's at least a few little girls out there who look at her who are kind of awkward and ridiculous and decide to go into science because of it, because otherwise this character is completely worthless.
I guess like they have to balance out the seriousness of everything else.
But the comedy is just so ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think there's a big divide in the internet about her. Some people love her. And those people are wrong. because she is a grating, annoying character that it's hard to root for. Like, I was saying this, and Jason probably doesn't, I mean, he knows a little bit of the reference, but Wesley Crusher in the first couple of seasons was this kid who somehow knew more than everything. The 1,000 people on board the ship.
Saved the entire Enterprise at least 5 times, I think.
He would always show up on the bridge, and like Picard would be like, Wesley, what are you doing here? He's like, you know, we need to invert the tachyons, Captain. It's like, oh, so the other 999 people couldn't figure that out. This 14-year-old has got it. Okay, good. And that's Tilly, because here she is screwing around, like grabbing, like, you know, space rocks and then seeing dead people and then running in to the ship on the bridge and saying, do this, do that. Hey, get out of that seat. Let me do something. You're like,
yeah, can you scooch over? I'm like, and she jumps up and lets her. I'm like, what?
This is your post, lady. I mean, this girl's coming out of the, like, she's coming out of the infirmary. She could
go
be comps. On drugs.
Mm-hmm. What's go that? Comps. Go comms.
What's her name? His name is Detmer or what?
Yes, Detmer.
Oh, God, where did I get that?
Who seemed very goofy this week. Like,
yeah,
I normally better when she's very serious and missing an eye.
I know.
He's like, oh my God, do a donut. And I'm like,
yeah.
It's a space donut.
Who was talking about the analogy situation? Was that you, Jason?
Which one?
Maybe it was just like
the analogy metaphor thing.
The analogy metaphor thing. Yeah. They like everything has to be, it's like doing a donut, you know, where like everything has to be.
Oh,
like,
no, that wasn't me, but that's a very good observation.
Yeah, it's like doing a donut. Oh, I can do a donut.
Well, because the audience can relate to that, so they have to.
Yeah, I didn't understand the physics of that, by the way, of that giant rock. Like that was fairly mystifying to me.
Well, that's the gravity because of the weight of the actual rock. The gravity surrounding the rock would pull the other radioactive material towards it, and then if they pulled it with the ship and let go, it would follow the little mini rock that almost killed Tilly.
Yeah, I don't think it works like
which
that.
Which I kind of wish it did kill someone.
Yeah.
Honestly, when she got nailed and like fell on the ground was bloody, I was like, oh, and then it was like, oh, okay. We'll get it next time.
I thought they might kill off Oishikun or somebody down on the planet just to shake things up.
Yeah.
Nobody would have expected that.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you guys discussed it last week and I missed it, but the whole, because they made such a big deal about the red shirt last week. And then, of course, they killed the other guy.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
They had one surprise death.
Because you seem to think, Mike, you seem to think that guy was obvious when he got beamed in. It's like, oh, this guy's going to get killed. I didn't know, but that's just my experience.
Well, he's being such a jackass, and he had no position on the Discovery. It's like, dude, man, you're so gone. And then you're taking on Burnham, and then being a jackass in the pod racing. It's just like, oh, dude, I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did enjoy the pod racing.
I thought you might. Yeah. I was like, oh, now they got it.
Jappa 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 Sipobo with the kids.
The one quote Kim remembers from any of Star Wars is from the Phantom Menace.
Jappa Jappa Jappa. It's fantastic. Right, well,
have we covered Tilly? I mean, she sees this weird ghost friend. She saves the day.
Right.
With magnets, with gravitational rocks, basically, that act like magnets. I mean, like the strength of that gravitational field was so strong. Gravity is a very weak force. If we're talking about like actual physics, it's a very weak force. If it was magnetized, I would have been a little more on board, but I don't know.
Weak force, I suppose.
Well, this entire planet of Earth is holding us down. Whereas if you get like really strong magnets, they can hold you in the air. So weak force, Kim. It's actually in physics, it's actually called strong and like strong forces and weak forces.
Well, what is it? It's the closer you are to the center of the object that the gravity is stronger.
No, well, I mean, yeah, yes,
great density.
Yes, density, mass. Like the mass of it is also very important too. So. I mean, the mass of that would be kind of akin to, I mean, maybe there was enough mass. Maybe someone.
But I think that's why they made the huge deal about it being so heavy when she's taking it off the, you know, what do they call that, in the dock?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but if they can hold that rock in the air, can't they do something to hold those other rocks away? I mean, right. It was
that little chamber she was holding in her hand had some sort of anti-grav something in there that was holding it in place.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was all very convenient.
Yeah.
Now, there was. There was one thing that was interesting about the whole convenience of the fact, like Kim talked about the ticking time bomb of like, oh no, this ring is suddenly going to dispel.
We have 62 minutes.
Which is always a very convenient thing to happen, unless it was the Red Angel that's bringing them there. I like that sort of like, well, what if the Red Angel was bringing us here on purpose? Like, oh, okay, then I get that too. Then we're kind of on, you know, we're kind of a little bit more on a guided tour of this.
Kind of learning a little more each week about what effects this Red Angel has on any disparate things in this universe.
Michael Burnham would not tell Pike about.
Yeah.
And then by the end of the episode, she did. But then by the end of the episode, we have video footage of the Red Angel all of a sudden, too.
So yeah, I know.
Earth in World War III, which is apparently in about 40 years from now.
There was something kind of satisfying being a video nerd about him going down to the planet and like, well, we have this recording from the guy who landed here, the Marine or whatever, during the Earth's nuclear war, World War III, but we can't use it because we don't have the technology to see it or whatever. And then so when Pike gets it back, he's able to watch it. I just wanted to watch videotapes with Pike.
Yeah.
So on Earth during this war, that there were soldiers trapped with civilians in a church, and then a Red Angel snapped her fingers and brought them to this planet in the Beta sector?
The Beta quadrant, Kim.
Beta quadrant.
So have you ever watched Star Trek, Kim?
yes, quadrant. Chupa. So this weird angel has the ability to transport people across light years.
Right.
Is interested in saving humanity, a little pocket of humanity.
But also in recreating that exact circumstance that was on Earth, right, in that other planet, because the church is there and everything, right? Does that make sense? So she either got recreated from that area they got taken from on Earth, or she just brought that with her.
I think she brought it with her. Like that was my feeling.
But they did create all this stained glass of like the different religions and stuff, which probably wasn't on Earth. Maybe it was. I don't know.
Hey, always want to ask you about this stained glass with this Red Angel and all the soldiers.
Why are there bombs dropping in this window?
Oh, you know. I just kind of got creative and just did this.
You coming to the cookies?
Are there any pictures of Jesus Christ here? No, 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 no. But here's one that has all the religions represented.
And a Red Angel.
Okay, I feel... I'm going to pay you, but I feel like you kind of missed the mark. I kind of wanted Jesus, some Mary, maybe some Joseph, some apostles. I mean, this is very creative, but...
like a really bad version of the agony and the ecstasy.
Yeah.
It's a reference nobody will understand. It's a movie about Michelangelo and Leonardo da Vinci. I'm not blanking. With Charlton Heston. Yeah. But anyway, it's about the creation of the Sistine Chapel.
Oh, all right.
Anyway.
What are you
thinking?
You're tap dancing under the table.
Kieran watched Data's Day, where Data tap dances.
And oh. Like,
oh, buddy, you got to watch out for that. It's
watch out.
It's coming for you.
Yeah, yeah. There's some, you know, there's some stuff there. You're like, huh. It's not a bad episode, though. But this episode, all right, so.
Ostensibly a good episode that we liked, and yet we're tearing it apart.
Well,
overall, again,
I liked it. I mean, again, Pike comes through, and his narrative, and his narrative of saying, Michael, you've gotta chill out. You've gotta follow me. You know, you gotta trust me. And it's a nice arc for her, where in the beginning she doesn't tell him, which was such a tropey thing in a TV show. It's like, is there anything you need to tell me? Anything?
I never thanked you.
Yeah, it's like, oh, God, I was so disappointed with that. But then it paid off at the end, which I was surprised about and I liked, where she said, I wasn't honest with you. Because she's not honest to any of her captains. She lies to them all the time.
I mean, it's true.
But she's had good reason to, at least after the first one. But they're kind of engendering trust in each other. And the fact that she tells him is a great sign of like, okay, I'm willing to follow the rules. I'm going to bend him every once in a while, but I will have to answer to you. And that's going to be okay. So.
So what are you looking forward to finding out in the story? All these multiple stories.
Why I don't care about these.
Burnham and Spock have had a falling out. Do you care about that?
No, I hate that. I hate that.
You hate it.
Why?
Because we don't need it. I mean, finally, the show is starting to stand on its own two legs with Pike, agreed, but we've only seen him once. We don't need to go back to the old well. Like, after 15, 16 episodes, they finally figured out how to tell a good Star Trek story. This is the first episode that, on its own, I can say, like, friend of the pod, Brian Weissel. I like I said, this is actually the first Star Trek episode I've seen of this. And like, finally, they're on their own two feet, and now they're going to bring in, like, Spock and Number One. It's like,
so would you like to see a lot of more self-contained one episode stories?
Yes.
Curious about these arcs, the Red Angel.
if they want to string along the Red Angel, like in little bits and pieces, like at the beginning and the end of every episode, that's fine. And then at the end of the season, oh my God, it's this. Mm-hmm. That's great. Or if they said, oh, it was this, and now that that's resolved, see you next season. I would be so thrilled.
So because they separate little stories.
I do, because I don't think they've earned the right to tell longer serialized stories. I don't think they know how to do it. I think first season was a total debacle where they were just spinning around over and over again. Go back to tell the simplest story you can. Put your characters in danger. Have them make difficult choices to get out of them and have them learn or suffer from it or both, preferably. And then end. Goodbye. And that's the one thing Orville's got.
You're getting this season, at least, is that you are getting a serialized story. We're getting the Red Angel continuously through all these episodes, but you're getting the smaller story per episode of this is going to be concluded. There's not going to be anything more about these people in the church.
Right. I don't think.
But.
And that's great. That's why I was saying I don't mind that if we did to the Red Angel, but now we've got Red Angel, we've got Spock, we've got Tilly, we've got Stamets. All of those other little like ridiculous stories are going to start, because they've got what, like 13 episodes, 15?
They may try and glom them all together in some big reveal later on. Like,
yeah, I'm sure they're going to say like the Red Angel ties all of these crazy things together.
I hope so. Last season with the Mirror Universe, that was kind of explained everything away, right?
And I wish they would have learned by that to not keep on doling out all these mysteries. One is good enough. I mean, we don't need to have...
Although they had the Klingon thing, too, with the Klingon in disguise as a human last year, too.
And guess who we're going to see next episode?
Yeah, I know.
Oh, no. The Klingons will not be silent, blah, 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 blah. Like, no. You will be silent. Stop. Everybody walk away, all right?
Do you think maybe part of that is the reason why this season's been better, too? Is there no weird Klingons with their crazy talk?
There's just less 500 little threads going on, which I think is going to change. I think with each episode, we're going to keep adding more and more and more and more.
Right.
I mean,
you're talking a minute ago, that kind of reminded me of what happened with The Walking Dead. It used to be kind of a small story of this little group of people. It was very interesting, compelling for the first season, and then it just exploded into madness over the following years. Now we have like 75 characters and 50 storylines.
I mean, as they say, I mean, television eats story. I mean, it's relentless. You have to keep on. That's why like scenes can sometimes be burned just doing nothing, because it can just consume story so much. And I mean, like I think sometimes they fall prey to it. It's like, and then what if we did this and this and this and this? Yeah, but what are the characters feeling? Oh, we'll figure that out. No, don't feel, do that now and then backtrack. Because this was such a simple story. And if Orville has messed up on a lot of stuff, they always circle around to what the characters are feeling and they always check in with them. I don't know if we talked. Did we talk about this last episode?
We talked about Orville.
Well, I haven't seen the Orville since like halfway through last season.
Oh, I think me and Kiernan are going to do an episode recapping the last three.
Oh, okay, so good.
But it's funny because there's an episode where this character turns out to have been a genetically altered, or like she had her body changed to look like a human, and her last name was Tyler. And I'm like, what, like Ash Tyler?
Was her last name Tyler? I didn't notice that.
Yes, her last name, like when she went undercover, her last name was Tyler. And then she's like, haha, I'm actually this bad guy. I'm like, no one may be named Tyler anymore in any sci-fi show. I'm sorry. It was very disconcerting. All right, well, let's what else do we got on this episode here? I mean, it's generally a pretty good episode.
Well, Pike, when they got down to the planet, he somehow their stuff got taken away from them, right? And
concussion little girl, grenade.
Yeah, well, it was a phaser that was set to overload. She actually set it to overload. So
he threw the concussion grenade. That's what Kim said.
Right.
He threw
that
grenade to knock them out, and then he swiped their stuff. And then he's like, look, all this stuff here. And then they're like, oh, no, it's not a big deal. And then the girl's playing with the phaser and sets it to overload because it's pretty easy to do that on phasers.
Has that overload button on there. I wonder why they put that.
And instead of throwing it away, he leaps on it.
Right. He takes the grenade.
He takes the grenade and then suffers burns. And then they have
bleeding from the chest, according to this article I was reading, which I sort of got, I guess, but.
Destroyed his ribs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, later we see that in the medical bay there.
Mm-hmm. And then, oddly enough, they're like, "We got to get him. Put him in the church. Put him in the church. Be healed."
She's thinking on her feet. She's got to get away from.
Yeah, because they can't show them that they're from the future.
Right. So they put him in the church, and then they beam away.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Now, does the woman see that they're gone? I can't remember.
That woman.
She does. She's like
the scientist, and I think the child too.
And they're like, oh, the angels have taken them, which is like almost as bad as saying, hey, we're from Earth, actually.
Right.
And, to letting them believe that this religion is, is perpetuating and like you're perpetuating this. It's almost like the Watchers. What is it? Like that TNG episode where they kept on thinking, oh, you are the Picard. You are a god. Mm-hmm. It's the Picard angry. I mean, in trying to do good, they actually did worse with that. Mm-hmm.
What do you think of Burnham's argument that these people are our kin? They deserve to know the truth. We should make an exception to this rule.
It is kind of a relevant argument. I mean, in some ways, it's kind of like humans were taken away against their will. This is not their planet. And for 200 years, they've lived here against their will. Believing
the Earth
that
is destroyed.
Yeah. And then so Pike has kind of a shaky argument for the Prime Directive, to be honest. If we dig that, that is a Burnham is kind of more in the right than I'd say. I don't know. What do you think, Jason? I mean,
about Burnham?
About everything.
Wait, quit reading.
I know.
I'm looking for our next destination.
Okay. Yeah. Then you keep reading. I'll finish this up. It's a scintillating podcast.
So what do you think of Burnham's argument that the people that are living on the planet now should be told the truth because they are Earthlings? They are our kin, as she says.
It makes perfect sense. I feel like the future Prime Directive, whatever they called it, that it's in place sort of for a reason to not disturb what's going on in each planet. Mm-hmm. In that case, it seems like it would be the smart thing to do, but what are the ramifications?
But I guess like Burnham's counter argument is that like these people were displaced against their will and relocated. And I mean, is it,
they're not just aliens. They're
not just aliens. They're humans, mm-hmm. So to tell them like, oh, and now they've been placed on this different path. So is it, I mean, it, are
they don't
bringing
really
the
know how, I mean, they don't know how they got there. So it's kind of, it's presumptive to say, well, they, cause what if they are alien duplicates or whatever. We don't know how they got there. We just know that
they obviously didn't travel there.
Right. But the Red Angel brought normally. Them there. So we what's a better explanation than that? We really don't understand how they got there yet.
I think I would be on Burnham's side on this one.
Yeah, you might be right.
Sorry for that guy that's like, my family.
There's just so much.
We're scientists.
What Burnham is saying is absolutely, you know, correct. But I think if you consider that there's so much that's unknown about it, it's easy to make a snap judgment and go, well, let's just tell them. But
well, I mean, but in some ways also these people have been like, they have been like kidnapped essentially. And so it's like, and then like, okay, we're going to kidnap you. We're going to put you on this island and then we're not going to bring you back. You know, it's.
Well, I guess sort of the test case was the guy that Pike told whose family.
Yeah.
Yeah. So who knows if, and I found that kind of interesting too, that he let that slip and gave him the power source and everything. And I'm sure he wanted to do that. That was also against the regulation, I'm sure. But
yeah, it was a very imperfect solution. And Kieran and I were actually watching First Contact, not the movie, but the episode.
Yeah.
New Earth in it.
Maybe New Earth. And,
makes love to Riker. Kieran looked at me.
Because
in the episode, she's an alien. Like he's posing as an alien on this planet. As they're getting ready to develop warp technology, this planet is just about ready to have their first contact. It's like, okay, you guys are just on the cusp of having warp technology. So the Federation is sending people to kind of observe them, you know, saying, okay, how are we going to approach them when they do have, you know, develop it? And Riker is figured out to be an alien. And BB Nerth is one of the doctors. And she says, like, I will help you escape if you make love to me. She's like, you'll never get out unless you make
love. Chilly that far out.
And then he got out his trombone.
Yeah. But then they cut away from it. And then like they cut back to him leaving. And Kieran looks at me and is like, they did. Yeah. And so, so he was very surprised about that. But in that situation, BB North is on the ship. Like she gets beamed to the Enterprise. And the chancellor of the planet is like, you know what? We're not ready for first contact. Our planet is obviously too. We got to sort out some social issues first. Come back like in 50 years or something. But BB New Earth is like, I want to stay. And Picard's like, okay, great, stay. And it was such a weird kind of thing. It's like,
that's true.
prepare some quarters for Mr. Worf, and you know, and we're just going to take this person. He seemed like a prime candidate to do the same thing. He was so wanting to be, you know, to go to the future. But they were just like, nope, we're going to give you a battery and just say goodbye. You know,
the end of one Star Trek battery, 4. Come along with us and join this science vessel.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it is.
It's like it's everyone's fantasy. I want to be taken away by aliens and shown amazing things.
Yeah, yeah. And not just sit there and watch the aliens leave.
Everyone's fantasy.
Close Encounters. Oh, wait, yeah. Maybe it's just mine.
We all want to be whisked away by aliens. Too much.
Want to be abducted by aliens and shown fantastic things.
Abduct me, please. No, we're good, actually. No, please. All right. Get in the back, Jesus. Yeah, there's a whole bunch of other alien species. Like you want to be abducted too? We all do. Like, oh God!
We'll show you great things, but first the probing.
Ah, damn it! I forgot about the probing. But get ready for Michelle Yeoh as a snake transforming snake. I think Mirror Giorgio.
Oh God. Oh, no.
The return of Ash and Chancellor Laurel.
Oh, Laurel.
Oh, okay. They're all back. They're all back. We can't get away from them.
Add more and more storylines back.
I know. Just when we thought we simplified everything up. Nope. Let's go visit these guys again. Let's bring back Giorgio. Let's just do it all. And...
So will Pike last past this season? Is he going to be in for the long haul?
Is
he
going to
be
so.
Beep, beep, beep at the end of this?
They said he wouldn't. They said he would not be, like, he wouldn't have his accident. Because I thought in the original series they said he had his accident recently or something.
Remind me what happened with that accident.
There was some sort of radiation leak or something, and he helped get a bunch of crewmen off, like, you know, like saved a bunch of crewmen, but in the process, like, burned his body and, like, you know, destroyed most of his body. So, so everyone else in this world gets all sorts of robot appendages, and, but he gets to sit in a box because because he's a hero. Congratulations, Spike. This is all we got for you, man.
We can fix broken bones in hours, but we'll leave all this terrible burned skin on your face. I know.
And it let you speak with a buzzer.
Yeah. This is as advanced as technology as we have. Like, well, maybe if it was like just his brain or like one eyeball or something, I'd say like, okay, this is the best we can do. Like two beeps, one beep, but like that's, he's all there pretty much, you know?
Very well.
Yeah. All right. Is there anything else we need to cover on this episode? A very good episode. A very Star Trek.
Oh, that's
episode.
What I was going to say. I think so. Are we agree that they've totally broken our spirit and we just accept all this very advanced technology? We don't even complain about it anymore.
Broken our spirit.
Just worn us down.
They kind of have. I kind of feel like they have. It's we're almost like we're like prisoners or like you know, we're victims of torture, and then like they give you any sort of like little crumb and you're like, oh, thank you so much. We have like Stockholm syndrome, don't we?
Yes. Oh, look at this thing I yanked from Spock's quarters of 3D. Yeah. Rotate 90 degrees and we're all, oh, okay.
Well, they're not even pretending anymore. I mean, like, there's these fantastic, you know, holograms everywhere, and you know, they're so just like, we don't care. We've got robots on the ship now. We're like, we're not even hiding this crazy bullfrog robot anymore. It's like, we're just fully embracing this is not your Star Trek. And, you know, who cares? But we're going to, but then sometimes we're going to pretend like it is your Star Trek and like, oh, yeah, well, we're going to explain how it's all canon. Like, but just don't pay attention to any of the visuals. All right. If you don't do that, you're okay.
So the producers were fired, you said, after the first two episodes. So are we going to see a dramatic change?
Yeah, I read an article, something to that effect, too, that at least the first few episodes.
For spending too much money and
responsible for. Well, also in, yeah, being abusive to their writers.
Yeah.
Cursing at them across tables.
So does that mean next week it'll be like bottle episode?
Well, I suspect that there will be a lot more bottle episodes, unless CBS is all in on this. Now, it should be pointed out that you can watch the first episode of this season for the next week or two, as Kim adroitly pointed out on the Facebook page.
Then I clicked on that link and I'm like, oh, they just make you sign up for a 1 week free trial. Damn you guys!
Oh, is that all it is? No, it's on. If you go to the CBS Facebook, I'm sorry, YouTube page. For the next week or two, the first episode of the first season is on for free. So go there and check it out. We sent it to our friend Matt Stompy Thompson, who can't watch anything on his computer. So I couldn't hear it. There's no volume. I'm like,
no volume.
I've sent the episodes to him, you know, and he has, I don't know, maybe he's watched it, maybe he hasn't, but I didn't hear back. There was no volume.
You mean you legally purchased the episodes and sent them to him, of course, right?
Yes, of course. That's what I mean.
Yes, that's what we always mean. That's what we always mean here. You know, it's screwed. Who cares? I mean, FedEx jobs, you know, I mean, very happy about this.
He's taking you down with him, Jason.
Yeah, taking everybody down. We're all going down. But that tells me two things. It tells me two things. One is that they actually have some confidence in the show. And two is that, on a negative, they're hurting a little bit on subscription. They need to boost subscription. So if they're willing to give away the first episode for free, HBO doesn't give away the first episode of Game of Thrones for free. They don't say, hey, check out the first episode on YouTube.
They do a free weekend, though. They're like, a free HBO weekend. You can watch this weekend, and they try and entice you in.
Well, that's for the whole package, like, hey, come in, like, if you're, you know, on cable, go watch this.
Right.
You know, the whole. But this, you
know, they've
is
done
them
it before for Game of Thrones once or twice to try and, you know, lure people in the beginning. If I'm not mistaken, they'll coincide their free weekend with the opening weekend of the new episode of Game of Thrones. And that's it. Something like that.
Yeah. I to me, though, this smacks a little bit of like, we need to really pick up our subscriber, you know, base, because this is probably not, I mean, if they're spending $80-100 million on this, I don't think they're making it back in subscriptions right now. So,
yeah.
I don't, maybe I'm wrong, but I hope I'm wrong. Maybe I don't.
I would have to think that the vast majority of subscriptions for that service would be due to Discovery, because the only other major original they have on there is the Good Wife spinoff.
The Good Fight, right.
Good Fight, which is not, yeah. It doesn't have half the draw that Star Trek does.
Yeah, it's almost like it's like they're putting a pin in this because there's nothing else to watch on this.
Right.
I think when I was on, because, you know, when I had the All Access pass, I mean, there was just nothing on. And then sometimes there's like some, because some of their actual shows on the air right now are not property of theirs, so they can't put it on All Access. Oh, so it's like, oh, I'll watch this. Like, it's not available, or like the first, you know, five episodes aren't available, or what. Right. There's so many strange caveats to it that it just made sense not to, you know.
Right.
Kim's pointing to her cat right now.
See, I didn't call you out.
I can call you out. All right, so I guess that's it. I guess we've reached this pinnacle of Star Trek conversation yet again.
Pinnacle. Can't get any better than this.
I don't think so. I mean, you know, unless there's more pinnacles to find. I mean, there may be more signals for us to discover.
I don't know. I'm hallucinating right now. I don't know.
Yeah. What's you guys real? Are all ghosts.
Stilly.
I'm seeing black cats everywhere.
I think you see black cats everywhere anyways, Kim. I think you just see cats everywhere. I'll give you a quick plug. Make sure you watch Hot Streets coming up. February 24th, the premiere of that.
Oh. Very good.
Where we will have Two Takes Frakes. Has a tiny guest star role on it.
Adult Swim.
Adult Swim. It's coming up. It's going to be fabulous.
Yeah.
And
Ghostbuster Ernie Hudson will also be on this season.
Ernie Hudson is.
He announced it this week on Twitter. Very excited about that.
Oh yeah, great. Yeah, he's great in it. Plays John Wayne Jet Wayne Jr. A tiny plane that can fly and turn people into crystals. So you can see how much I'm influenced by Star Trek and how much Star Trek influences Hot Streets. The exact same stuff. All right. Well, this is a good place to stop. Thank you so much for listening. Hey, give us an iTunes review. Those bastards at Trek FM, they pushed me out of iTunes for a while.
Talk about jackasses. That. I was hoping we would.
Yeah, those right, bastards, right. Those jackasses at Trek FM.
Yeah.
So we fell out of iTunes. My producer, creator not of Starburns Audio, looked into it because we dropped out of iTunes, and he said it was because of Trek FM. I think something happened to the listing because we dropped so far off. It's like, I don't know what happened.
We only saw that little snippet from your email. Was he claiming that they flooded the tracker or whatever the listing?
No, he was just, his contention was that there's so many episodes of Trek FM.
Right. Right, right.
But like when I search, like when I type in Star Trek into iTunes and podcast, we'd come up like the fourth to seventh row of Star Trek shows. So
they're gonna say the fourth to seventh, the fourth to seventh row, 50th or 60th,
fourth to 7,000th selection. But then all of a sudden in like January, like it didn't pop up at all. And only if I typed in, I just want to talk about Star Trek specifically, would it pop up. And then it also dropped out of Spotify at the same time. So something happened with some sort of metadata tag or something. So he did some trickeration behind the scenes. He did a couple of paid promos or something, he said. And so now we're back in the listings, and which is good because, you know, this is Star Trek season. You know, with Discovery out.
Well, I have to say, at least now when you look up, I just want to talk about Star Trek, it actually shows up on iTunes because before the naming convention was wrong or something. And it was like, I just want to talk Star Trek or something, right?
Oh, yeah.
I'm actually seeing it now, which is good.
Oh, yeah. Is that what it says? Yeah.
Yeah.
I type in Star Trek podcast and I don't see you.
What's that? You're typing in Star Trek?
I put it in Star Trek podcast and you don't pop up.
Well, you have to scroll down. So,
I just scroll down, you fool.
Well, it might. I mean, again, like the problem is, especially like on like the iPhone, if you're searching, you only do like the first 15 selections.
That's all that matters.
Well, if you do iTunes, it's a few more. So you have it, right, Jason?
Pulled it up. I mean, if you look up, I just want to talk about Star Trek. At least you see it now. This is all one for our listening audience.
No,
I do see here that, Mission Log, a Roddenberry podcast, there's so many episodes here.
type in Star Trek.
Right, that's what I did. I typed in Star Trek. I'm looking at the top podcasts.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't see ours here anymore.
You don't see it? All right. Okay, good. So, thank you for once again, it's gone.
I need a 4.5 rating.
Excellent.
Anyway, this is fascinating. Wrap it up.
Yes.
Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for iTunesing it. Thank you for doing everything you're doing. My name is Mike McCafferty.
I'm Kim Miller.
And I'm Jason McCarris.
And I just want to talk about
Star Trek.
Meant to say that it should be hauled away as garbage.